Today's scripture reading is from 1 Samuel 1:19 through 28. If you remember the book of Samuel, it's about Hannah and her husband. And she didn't have any children. But she wanted them. So here's the story. 1 Samuel 1:19 through 28. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to the house of Ramah. Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I have asked him of the Lord." The man Elkanah and all his household went up to offer the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and remain there forever. I will offer him as a Nazarite for all time." Her husband, Elkanah, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. They brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me the petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." She left him there for the Lord.
Well, good morning. It's great to be with you again. It's been a long time, but I'm sure you didn't forget me. I'm just behind a wall out in Plymouth. But thank you for praying for our ministry and the inmates, staff. And God's been doing some great things there. During this COVID, I got to say, as sad as it was at first, there was no movement. As you know, you guys couldn't go to church. We couldn't do church in the jail. So there was really not much going on. It was kind of dead. You were just kind of hanging around the office, and officers would walk in, though, during this time, you know, since it was downtime, as they call it, the officers would walk into my office, and I remember telling you, they were a tough crowd to reach. Remember, they're the good guys. I got a badge, you know. You're trying to tell them, you know, "Do you know you're a sinner?" You know, "No, chaplain, them guys are the sinners. I'm a good guy. I got the badge, you know." So you got to try to get to these guys, and it's a tough nut to crack because they think they're good people. They don't realize that they've all sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. So very tough people to reach. Well, anyway, during the COVID, the downtime, there's nothing going on. The officer hanging around. I'm in my office. Well, some of them start coming in, close the door. "Hey, can I talk to you for a minute?" And they start sharing some stories, and this is going on, that's going on. And of course, I hear them and pray with them, and then we come to the answer. The answer is always Jesus. And as a result, a lot of officers came to know the Lord during that time. So out of something bad, God did something good. And I mean, that's all throughout the Bible, isn't it? Every time something bad happens, God does something good. You know, all you got to do is just wait. It's going to happen. And that's why we trust him. So in our story here with Elkanah, he's got two wives, all right? This guy's a glutton for punishment, but anyway, no, just joking. He has two wives. One of them is having these children, the other one's not. And she's, you know, distressed and crying and sad. And every year when they would go up to worship, year after year, the wife with the children, Peninnah, would provoke her, Hannah, and just keep teasing her, you know, about not having children. And she'd cry and weep. And so she goes up there, and again, for chapter 1, verse 7 and on here, it says that year after year, she went up to the house of the Lord, and Peninnah would provoke her. so she would weep and she wouldn't eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Obviously not, you know. No, you're not, but anyway. Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh, and now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord, and she was greatly distressed, and she prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly, and she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Now, this is really interesting. She's not so much praying. She's not giving to get, but getting to give. She wants a son so she can give him to the Lord. And if there's any young mothers here, you want to do that. You want to give your children to the Lord. Believe me, there are no better hands to put your child in than the hands of the Lord. It took me a long time to learn that, and maybe some of you too out there, but those of us that have learned the hard way or took the long road realize, you know what? We need to bring them up in the Lord. We need to nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. So she goes on, she prays, pours out her heart, and in verse 18 it says she's no longer sad. And she believed the Lord. So in verse 19, as we read, they arose early and in the morning, worshiped before the Lord, and returned back to the house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And it came about in due time that Hannah had conceived, and she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. That's what Samuel means, is basically asked of the Lord. So she asked for this son, and he gives it to her. Now Samuel, we're not going to read the whole story, but Samuel's going to go on to be a great prophet. He's going to be a judge, a prophet, and a priest. He's going to be a great man of God. And, you know, I think that's what we all want for our children, because we know this, life without God is no life at all. It's empty. There's something in everyone's heart, this hole that nothing is going to fill, nor money, nor nothing. Pain, fame, power, there is nothing that's going to fill that hole except God. And the sooner we bring our children to know that, the better. And so Hannah is a woman of God and is praying to get this son so she can give him to the Lord. And that's what she does. And she takes upon him this Nazirite vow. If you remember, this is only mentioned before, back with Samson. Everybody remembers Samson, right? You know, his hair grew long, and he had all this power, and he could take on 30 guys by himself, and he was a bad dude. I kind of like Samuel, you know. I would like hanging around with him, to be honest, you know. But they took on this vow to never cut the hair, to never drink, and to never touch a dead or unclean thing. And God would bless these people. And so he does with Samson, he does with Samuel. And again, she has this child that she finally asked for. And again, it's time next year to bring the yearly sacrifice. This is mentioned back in Deuteronomy. They go up every year. They're basically from Ephraim. So most of you know in Jerusalem, if you don't know, you know where the Dead Sea is, right? The Dead Sea, toward the top, go about 5 miles to the left. And, well, that would be this way. To the left of the Dead Sea is Jerusalem, right? That's where they would go. So they go up that year. But Hannah says, I'm not going up. I'm going to keep the child until he's weaned, that I may go up there and appear him and give him to the Lord, that he may stay there forever. And that's what she does. She weans him. She goes up there. She brings this bull. They offer the sacrifice. And she tells the priest, you know, I'm the woman who was praying, and I told you I was going to dedicate him to the Lord, and my version says dedicate, but the word is lent. I'm going to lend him to the Lord, and that's what I do. So basically, he goes into the temple. I don't know how old he is, 3, 4, whatever, but he's got a little robe. She makes him a little robe, which was kind of interesting. It says here in If we jump down here in chapter 2, did I write it down? She goes up there every year and has these little robes that she makes for him. So let me see if I can find her. Chapter 2, verse 11. So in chapter 2, she thanks the Lord after she drops him off in the temple through verses 1 through 10. Verses 11 says, then Elkanah went to his home at Ramah, but the boy ministered to the Lord with Eli the priest. Now, verse 18 of chapter 2, it says, Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod. And his mother would make a little robe and bring it to him year to year when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And then Eli, the priest, would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, may the Lord give you children from this woman in the place of the one she has lent to the Lord. And they went to their own home. And then it says, the Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived again and again and again and again, 3 more sons and 2 daughters. And the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. Why did I bring that up? Well, here's a mom that, you know, wants a child to be able to give him to the Lord. She's not the only one. There are others. They're all out the Bible, all throughout the Bible. We just mentioned Samson. Again, another woman, old in age, conceives late in life and brings forth Samson, this man, great man of God, that's going to deliver the Israelites, and he does. Elizabeth, later on, she's going to become pregnant with John, again, late in life. She's going to have relations with her husband, and again, she's going to conceive, and John the Baptist is going to be born. He's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. He's going to be the one that the Old Testament promised that before the Messiah comes, that great day of the Lord, before he comes, Elijah's got to come first. And so what happened? Well, Jesus did come, and Elijah also came. It was John the Baptist. He came in the spirit of Elijah. And he was a very, very great man. Let me show you just how great he was according to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is going to talk about John the Baptist and answer their questions about, you know, doesn't it say Elijah's supposed to come first and so forth? He says, yeah, he did. He came. John was him. And so here's what he says regarding John the Baptist. He says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 10, this is the one about whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you, the way of the Messiah, for Jesus the Christ to be born. And he goes on and says, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So who was the last Old Testament prophet? John the Baptist. He was the greatest of all of them. Again, these women who bore these children and showed them the scriptures, brought them up in the Lord, went on to do great things for God and the world. And of course, ultimately, Mary, this poor little Jewish girl who's not even married yet, and God miraculously causes her to conceive a child who will be none other than God himself with flesh on. And he will come and save his people from their sins. All of them, you know, if you're here today, you had a mother. She might not be with you right now, but you had a mother. And thank God for mothers. My wife and I had 4 children. Our first one was a 25-hour labor. That was hard. That was really, really, really hard. But I do it again. I mean, being the guy I am, you know, it's the way I am, you know. And I did. And so we had 4 But it, can you imagine if men had to give children? There wouldn't be, that's right, that would be the end of the human race. That would be, that ain't happening. Sorry. I love you, honey, but not that much. But thank God. I don't know. This is the way he did it. You know, when you think about it, they're conceived in the womb of a woman. In fact, let me give you another verse here in Ecclesiastes, Old Testament, right after Proverbs, is this book called Ecclesiastes, written by Solomon, without really God in view, all right? It's kind of, a lot of it is kind of like everything's useless, everything's meaningless, because he's looking at it without God in the picture. Finally, he does in the end, but in chapter 11, notice what he says here. He says, it's chapter 11, verse 5. Talking about the acts of God, he says, just as you do not know the path of the wind or how bones are formed in the womb of a pregnant woman. You don't know this. I mean, we can see it now on internet, you know, that you can go on the internet and actually see a camera, sperm and egg meeting, and it all happening, and they just speed up 9 months, and it's unbelievable, unbelievable. But he's saying, just as you do not know how the bones are formed in the womb of a woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. You know, he's the one who made us. We didn't make ourselves. Our children, we didn't make them. God did. In the womb of a woman, in a sack of water. Do you know that the first 9 months of your life, you were Aquaman? Think about it. You were living in a sack of water, amniotic fluid to be exact. But try living underwater now for a few minutes, see how that works. You know, it's the most amazing thing. I saw all four of my children born. And it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. You know, and this is how God ordained it. And again, he chose mothers to do it. And thank God again. Because it wouldn't have been Danny, that's for sure. So again, I just wanted you to get a fast little glimpse of mothers in the Bible and how they prayed for their children, how they reared them in the Lord, how they nurtured them and brought them up in the Lord, and how they gave them back to God. That's what you have to do, you know, you have to give them back to God. If you keep them, you know, and just hold on to them and not let them go, they're never going to grow. You know, you've got to release them, and they got to grow. And especially with regard to God, I mean, I learned early in life, they can't live on my testimony. They have to have their own. They have to go out in the world. They have to go out there and fall off the bike and scrape their knees and everything else. And they gotta do these things. You know, it's part of life. You know, it's called growing. And if you shelter them and keep them, they're not going to grow. They're not. That's what's going on in the world today, by the way. They need to become. Let me put it to you this way. You don't want to raise a little boy. You want to raise a man. You do not want to raise a little girl. You want to raise a woman. Because sooner or later, you're not going to be here anymore. And if you don't raise them to be able to take care of themselves, and then you're gone, they're going to be in big trouble. So the best thing you can do is thank the Lord for them and then give them back to the Lord. That was the first thing I did when my firstborn, DJ, was born. I remember sitting on the rocker, him in my lap, you know, with his little chubby cheeks and just, you know, thanking God for him and praying, saying, Lord, I pray that my son would know you at an early age and know what life is really all about. Because without you, life has no meaning. With you, life has meaning, a purpose, a reason, and hope. And that's what it's all about. I'm going to close with a little illustration from the Daily Bread about Samuel, which will take place in chapter 3. Basically, what happens is little boy is serving the priest. And he's sleeping in his side room, and he hears God call him. And in the Old Testament, God would do this audibly. He'd call people and talk to them and so forth. Today, he does it through his son and through the word. But in the Old Testament, he would audibly do this. So he calls this little boy, Samuel, Samuel. And so Samuel gets up and runs over to the priest and said, yeah, what do you want, Eli? He says, I didn't call you. He said, go back to sleep. He said, it must have been me. He goes back to sleep. And God calls him again, Samuel, Samuel. And Eli gets up, runs over to Eli. Eli, what do you want? He said, I didn't call you. What are you talking about? Go back to bed. So again, this happens a third time. And he runs back in. What do you want, Eli? And then Eli realizes God is talking to him. And so he tells him, this is what you ought to do. Next time you hear your name again, you ought to reply, speak, for your servant is listening. Now, you can skate over that verse. You know, I'd encourage you to go there, highlight that verse, underline it. Very important, because you can read that, skate right over something, and miss this whole point. Notice again, let me read it for you, but try to remember this. Samuel said, or Eli told Samuel to say, when the Lord called him, speak, for your servant is listening. Why is that so important? Because it is the servant who hears. Can I get an amen? Once you realize, and sooner or later you've got to grab this, the sooner the better. Once you realize the world does not revolve around me, all right? It is God who's in charge. Once you realize he's God, I'm not, I'm a servant. Once you realize that, life is going to come together a lot quicker. Can I get an amen? Amen. And this is something this kid learns at a very early age and goes on to do great things for the Lord. So again, remember that line, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That should be your prayer when you open the Bible. No Bible. When you open the Bible, that should be your prayer. Lord, speak to me, for your servant is listening. May we also choose to listen to and obey what God has revealed in the scriptures. Let's submit our lives to him and take the posture of humble servants, those who have their radios on. Now, that last line, I got to clue you into what happened here. And I'm sorry, I jumped the gun here. But in this little devotional, The Daily Bread, which I hope you take it, there's some out there. I hope you read that every morning. It's a little short thing, doesn't take long, 5-10 minutes in the Word. Begin your day like that. Believe me, you'll enjoy it. In this story, it talks about the Titanic. Everybody remembers that episode, right? All right. Here's what is recorded in the Daily Bread way back when. Had the wireless radio been on, they would have known the Titanic was sinking. Cyril Evans, the radio operator of another ship, had tried to relay a message to Jack Phillips, the radio operator on the Titanic, to let him know that they had encountered an ice field. But Phillips was busy relaying passengers' messages and rudely told Evans to be quiet. You can imagine what he said. So Evans reluctantly turned off his radio and went to bed. 10 minutes later, the Titanic struck an iceberg. Their distress signals went unanswered because no one was listening. Now, back to the bottom. When you open your Bible, again, no Bible, no breakfast. When you open your Bible in the morning, ask him, say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And remember, a servant listens. And if you're ready to listen and you make that your prayer, you'll have your radio on. Can I get an amen? Father, thank you for this time we could be together, for your word, for you, your son, your spirit, your mercy, your grace, your love, your compassion, and for our mothers. Thank you for all the love that they've shown us over the years, always being there for us. And I pray your blessing upon them, Lord. And I pray young mothers would again learn to bring their children to the Lord, because life without God is not going to be too much of a life at all, to bring them to the Lord, and that they would learn to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And we ask this from grateful hearts. In the name of your Son, Jesus, with thanksgiving, amen.